For Sparky, school was a disaster. Sparky could not get anything right. He failed every single subject in the eighth grade. He flunked physics, getting a grade of a zero. Sparky also flunked Latin and algebra and English. He didn't do much better in sports, although he did manage to make the school's golf team. He promptly lost the only important tournament that he of the season. And throughout all of his youth, Sparky was awkward. He was an awkward person, awkward socially. He was not actually disliked by the other students, but it's just that nobody cared that much about him. He was astonished if a classmate even said something to him in the hallways of the school. He didn't ask girls out because he was afraid of being turned down. Sparky was a loser. But that's okay because he was in good company. For some reason, God loves losers. The Bible is full of them. Let me just give you a few examples of some of the losers in the Bible. The losers in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, who had everything and then lost it because of their disobedience. Jacob, who lived comfortably in his father's house, but stole his brother's inheritance and then became a refuge from that house, refugee. The people of Israel, who were being fed and led through the wilderness by God, and yet they turned against Moses. King David, who had the world at his feet. He had everything that a man could want, but he had to steal his neighbor's wife, killing her husband in the process, an action that brought him nothing but grief for the rest of his life. Jonah, who foolishly tried to run away from God, even Jesus' disciples, who just couldn't grasp what Jesus was all about, no matter how simply he tried to tell them. And today we hear about another loser. She was a loser on the number of accounts. First of all, she was a Canaanite, one of the original inhabitants of the land of Israel. Canaanites were regarded by the Jews as outsiders and heathens, people who didn't know about God. And secondly, she was a woman. And here she was making a nuisance of herself, calling out to a rabbi in total disrespect, and the disciples regarded her as a loser and tried to shut her up and send her away. In fact, she even dares to argue points of theology with Jesus. A woman never argued with a rabbi. But she understood where she stood. She knew that she was at the bottom of the heap. She knew that she was beyond help. Nobody cared what happened to her. Why should God take notice of her? She had nothing to lose. Her dignity, her pride, they were all gone. And so she comes to Jesus and she shouts at him, "Hey, you, son of David, listen to me and show some mercy. My daughter has a demon and is in terrible condition. Can you do something about it?" I mean, she wasn't begging for herself. Her cry for mercy was a cry of love. Her child was sick. Her child was in trouble. There are times like that in life when the only thing that a parent can do for their child is to pray. And that's what this woman was doing. That's what she was doing, is reaching out to God. But picture the woman in the circumstances with this situation. Imagine you've carried this child in your womb 9 months, go through the excruciating pain of childbirth. You nurse her, you feed her, you change her, you watch her grow. You take that first step, say her first word, maybe even played peekaboo with her. You got your little girl. And you can still remember the first day of school when she wore that cute little dress that made her look just so adorable. You remember the times when you go to Penny's or Sears, or when you used to be able to go to the mall and you would buy clothes and you'd say, "Hey, how does this make me look? Do you like this?" And you would spend that time sharing together. It goes on and on and on. Maybe she had been sick before. A cold here, a headache there, maybe even the flu from time to time. But nothing. Nothing like what she's going through now. In the daytime, she screams and she hollers constantly. You can't put new clothes on her because she'll just tear them off. No longer is her hair nice and ponytails that you put them in, but they are almost all pulled out at the roots and left sticking up. Strange voices come from her mouth. She can't eat, she can't sleep, she can't play. But one thing is constant. It's those eyes. There's a strange look in her eyes, eyes that tell you that this is no ordinary sickness or ordinary problem, no ordinary trouble. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that for your children, that helpless feeling of what this mother was going through? I'm losing my little girl. I'm losing my little girl, she says to herself. So you see that you are in trouble. It does not matter when you are in trouble whose fault it really is. If you find yourself broke and busted and disgusted, you don't need an investigator to find out why. If you are beaten and you are bruised and you are abused, you don't want to see a commission of inquiry to find out what the cause was. If you are depressed and dejected and rejected, it's not important to you to probe the reasons behind it. All you really want is what? You want help. I just need some help. You see, dying people, broken people, hurt people, used and abused people don't need to find out why. They just need some help. And what did Jesus do? Oh, this is one of the hard ones, isn't it? He ignored her. That's right. He ignored her. In seminary, we were given the challenge to preach on one of Jesus' hard sayings, and this is one of them. This is the one I preached on. I didn't even pull that old sermon out. I think I've gotten a file folder someplace. I'm pretty sure it was terrible. But this is not what we expect from Jesus. He ignores her. He doesn't give her an answer. He shows no interest in her. And the disciples are quick to assume and slow to understand, make the assumption that Jesus just didn't want to spend any time on her. And so they try to get rid of her. She's a nuisance. But why did he ignore her? Let her go on and make a fool of herself and embarrass herself in front of everyone. Why does he seem to be testing this woman or testing his disciples? Maybe it was a little bit of both. But of course, Jesus had heard her making all of this fuss and adds insult to injury by saying, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." In other words, I didn't come to help outsiders. I have only come for the Jews. This is not what we expect from Jesus. We know Jesus talked about his mission to outsiders, and his actions show how much he loved the losers. But then, shock of shocks, he refers to her and her people as dogs. I mean, what a field day the press would have with an incident like this. Spiritual leader publicly slams Canaanites. Community leaders call for his dismissal. Well, I can just hear it now. We know the story, though, has a happy ending. The woman was not insulted. In fact, I'm pretty amazed at her response. She had pretty thick skin. She doesn't let this dog comment let her down. She swallowed her pride. She says, "Lord, that's true. But even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And Jesus answered, "Dear woman, you really do have a lot of faith, and you will be given what you want." And at that moment, the woman's daughter was healed. Matthew tells us this woman had exceptional faith in Jesus. The woman wasn't stupid. She knew that her behavior was out of line, that her shouting made all the people look at her with disapproving eyes. She was no fool, and I am sure that it was hard for her. In fact, it was a courageous thing to do, to act in such a way that the world would draw upon herself public scorn. It must have been disheartening. It must have been heartbreak when Jesus didn't respond, but then proclaimed that his mission didn't include her. It must have been a hurtful setback when the disciples wanted to get rid of her and Jesus referred to her as a dog. But in spite of everything, her trust in Jesus never wavered. Not long before this event, Matthew tells us about Jesus' visit to Nazareth. People knew God's chosen people. God's chosen people refused to believe him, as we are told, because the people did not have any faith. Jesus did not do any miracles. What a contrast to this woman's faith. She didn't care what other people thought of her. She knew she didn't have any right to expect anything from this Jewish Messiah. She had made a nuisance of herself, and her reputation is in tatters, but she accepts being called a dog. But at the same time, she sincerely believed that Jesus' love would find something somewhere in his heart for her daughter. Even dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. That's all she wanted. That's all she needed. Just some crumbs. She wasn't out for a palace or for power, but for crumbs. For her, the crumbs were her daughter's health and sanity. This woman is a real lesson in humility, suffering, patience, persistence, and trusting in Jesus. Even when you don't get what you want, Jesus can't ignore this kind of faith. Matthew also wants to see again the amazing love of Jesus. While everyone was seething because of this woman's actions, Jesus loved her. Before I go any further, but let me finish this little story about Sparky. Sparky was really terrible at school, but he was good at one thing, drawing. And after completing high school, he sent some samples of the artwork that he had come up with to Walt Disney Studios and was, of course, rejected. But another loss for the loser, right? Just one more. So Sparky decided to write his own autobiography in cartoons. And so he vividly described his childhood, a little boy loser with a chronic underachiever. His real name was Charles Schulz. Yeah. And he created the Peanuts comic strip. And the little cartoon character whose kite would never fly and who could never succeed in kicking a football. There are people who consider themselves to be losers. There are probably people sitting in this congregation. In fact, I know that there are people in this congregation today whose opinion of themselves and their ability is so low that a worm would have a hard time getting underneath there. Maybe there are times when you feel more depressed and despondent than other times, and you feel that everything is going wrong for you and that you are just lost. But even when you feel like that, even when you feel like a loser, the good news is God sees you as a winner. At your baptism, he adopted you as his own dearly beloved child and promised to help you and to walk with you all the days of your life on this earth. There is a richness and a worthiness that can come and be found no place else on this planet. You belong to God, and you are one of his precious children. He even sent Jesus to die for you. So look how the Canaanite woman was blessed. This isn't only a story about great faith, because only a few can express that kind of remarkable faith. It's also a story about Jesus' love and his grace towards someone whom everyone else regards as a loser. In the Gospels, it's always those without hope who display the most hope, those without anything left who give the most. In the Bible, it is the losers who receive God's special attention. The race goes not to those who are fast, the one who wins the gold medal. The race goes rather to the one who is best able to trust in the promises of God in Jesus Christ. Now, this week was Lukey's birthday. Luke is my very special great nephew, my nephew's son. Lives in Nashville. He is a special child. He has special needs, and he's just a delightful young man driving his mom crazy. But then he has five brothers and sisters, so there's plenty of them to drive their mom crazy. So there's a special place in my heart for Special Olympics. When we go to Publix and they ask you, do you want to donate? I can't help it. I just empty out my wallet because I think of Lukey. But anyway, there's a story that was written in the Los Angeles Times. A local sports writer named Jim Murray wrote about the Special Olympics. The regular Olympics were coming up, Special Olympics coming up. He wanted to write about how they contrasted with each other, why the Special Olympics were so special. You learn very quickly, he wrote, what is special about the Special Olympics? Nobody is trying to win. There are no false starts, and every athlete performed as if they were alone on the track. They ran with a kind of beautiful joy. There were no tears from losers. In fact, there were no losers. Take Angie, who ran in one of the lower divisions of the 300-yard run. I use the word run kind of loosely. You could tell right away that Angie is not a runner. I mean, obviously some sort of a glandular case was going on with her, and she was very heavy, and it took several seconds just to get out of the starting blocks. And she peered down the track in dismay, far behind her thick glasses. The field was in the home stretch before she ever hardly started. She lost the race by 200 yards, you might say. She stopped several times in some bewilderment to find herself there alone. But from the stands, from her friends, from their fellow competitors who had already finished, came shouts of encouragement. And then Angie would start up again. And about 20 yards from the finish line, she collapsed happily in the waiting arms of her friends and a wide smile of accomplishment. That's what Special Olympics is all about. There are stories of times a winning runner knew a companion had fallen and circled back to help his friend, costing him a medal. There was a boy from Chicago who ran on crutches and a girl who longed jumped with an artificial leg. There was a blind boy who followed the voice of his coach around the track. There was a basketball game without a single intentional foul. There was a boy who finished the race and then kept running around and around and around the track because it just felt so good. Matched on that yardstick, Matthew said, the Olympic athletes will be an inferior lot. It's not a trick to win the long jump when you have two legs and neither one is metal. It's not an achievement to win the mile run when you can see which way you're going. It is not an honor to win the 400 when a fellow athlete stumbles and falls and you don't even stop to help. Those whom the world considers the ultimate losers, God considers winners. A few years back, Ted Turner gained a great deal of notoriety by declaring to a reporter, Christianity is for losers. Old Ted had no idea. He was right. Absolutely right. Christianity is for losers. Because in this story, you know where you are, right? You know who you are in this story. I challenge you when I read these stories to place yourself in there. Which character reflects you? You're not Jesus. You're not the disciples. You're the Canaanite woman. You're the one who comes to Jesus in faith, even though everything around you tells you, no, you're a loser. You don't deserve it. In the Bible, it is the losers who receive God's special blessings, is God's attention. And hear this very clearly. Before God, we are all in that category of the Canaanites. We all need God's grace, and it is because of that grace that we are forgiven. It's because of that grace, that love, that we have eternal life. We have no natural claims on God. He's only interested in us because he loves us. Let that roll over you for just a minute. Because there are times in my life and times in your life when you just feel like that Canaanite woman. Just like nothing's working. You're not worthy of it. But then God comes to you and says, no, it's because of that. It's because of your humility and your inability and all those things that I have for you to give your life meaning, to give a fuller expression of your faith. The world would try to tell you that you are small and weak and helpless and that because of that, you're a loser. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. God's word tells us that we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. That is the truth. And you better believe it and then live up to it. Let us pray. Our Father, we are very much aware that we are incapable of winning. We throw ourselves at your feet and beg for your mercy because as much as we would like to think that we can do it all and be it all, in our hearts we know we can't. So as this Canaanite woman, called a canine in the story, as she had faith in Jesus from the lost and the last, we recognize that's us. So open our eyes and our hearts to this amazing grace, this outrageous grace of yours. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.